I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
As if they don't have too much on their plates. The Kings of Combat Sports podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. The land of the work of Triple H.
We want to SmackDown. All right, everyone. We are live even when SmackDown isn't. And I know a lot of people, they don't always enjoy these tape shows. Folks, if you're outside of the U.S., okay, and I logged in, I finished this show at 9:03 p.m.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
Amazing.
I understand it's extenuating circumstances, but how I finished this show at 9:03 p.m. and the exact same show will take me until 11 p.m. in 2 weeks blows my goddamn mind.
Yeah. It's a very different circumstance come January. But
I want this to go back to being a tape show. Tape it on Tuesdays after Raw, air it on Friday, no problem. That would be my compromise. You want to do your 3-hour shows? Put it up on Netflix commercial free. We can meet in the middle. I'll go to 2:20.
Well, it does tell you, like, when you zip through all the commercials, how much content is left. In this case, for a 2-hour show, you have 2 hours and 22 minutes of content. And for a 3-hour show, I imagine it'd be something like 2:15, like probably similar to a Raw. Again, you probably just have to delay it at just that, you know, what, 45 minutes in.
That is it. Well, everybody, we are here as we are closing down the week, but do want to make mention that we have put out the latest edition of Rewind Away covering the 2002 draft. We went back 23 years, back to the first brand extension as Ric Flair and Vince McMahon took to the podium, went back and forth. There was a great reminiscing of Vince McMahon having his head shoved up Rikishi's ass, the accusations of one of the GMs calling the other a lascivious pig. Which one? Tune in to find out. Mm-hmm. We got the status of the women's division in 2002.
Yeah, 2002 was a really interesting time in WWE post-invasion. Yeah. You can argue really... Like
Stephanie McMahon was carrying the female representation on this Raw.
Oh, she was competing for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, I mean, it was empowering. Not?
Yes. Yeah, that was the main event. Really, essentially, the write-off of at least this initial iteration of the Stephanie McMahon character. So, yeah. I think it's a really fun era, personally, for me to go back to talk about. And this is a pretty pivotal show for at least the even present landscape of the company right now.
Yes. Find out how many people were drafted to one brand and would just ignore it and show up on the other. A remarkable amount is the answer. Okay, so a very fun show back in the 2-hour era of Raw in 2002 as we see the brand split. So that is available for you. Coming up this weekend, we have the NWA podcast on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
We should.
That's coming your way. And then next week, everybody, we are going into the holiday season. It's not going to interrupt our schedule too much. I think next week it's pretty much a regular schedule, except We will not be doing a Dynamite on Wednesday, but in its place on Christmas Eve will be the annual post-wrestling Christmas show. So you will definitely not be left without post-wrestling material to get you through the holidays. So that's going to be dropping on Christmas Eve. And in that spirit, we encourage you to submit your jingles before Monday at noon Eastern. We've gotten several submissions. I don't want to call this a referendum on the jingle contest, but hey, read between the lines. Every year, it's a renewal for the next, okay? This is like Sting's contract that was up at TNA every year, and every year he said he was going to, he was done, and you have the right to play Dixie Carter and renew it for another year, but it's in your hands.
It's like Ric Flair's retirement run.
Yeah,
it's over.
1 year, if it's an off year, it's a gone year. Okay, so yeah. let's see how much you enjoy this jingle contest. So all jingles will be played on the Christmas show. Submit them at forum.postwrestling.com, or you can email them in john@postwrestling.com. So that's all coming up. Way, you have an exciting weekend ahead.
Always. Huge yeah. Plans. Of course, yeah.
All right. Well, we have an exciting SmackDown to get into. Will we get through it faster than I watch this? Spoiler, I think we will.
Will our XL edition news discussion about the John Cena interview with Cody Rhodes be longer than our SmackDown review itself?
It probably will. We spent quite a bit of time going through this John Cena interview, his first post-retirement interview that he did with Cody Rhodes that they posted on Thursday. So it's a 2-hour interview. We didn't spend that long talking about it, but quite a discussion that we had about the interview, and a very unique man that is John Cena.
Very, very.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder when we're going to get another media blitz by John Cena. I think it's going to be a while. I think he's going
to
go.
Be. Like, this seems to wrap it all up. I mean, maybe he'll do another with Tom Rinaldi. Maybe, you know, he'll, but I'll say I'm going to kind of miss this sort of, you know, very giving, you know, very sort of generous with his time, John Cena, talking about his wrestling.
Very motivational speaker. Like, you can really see where this guy, like, you watch these interviews and people will have their opinions of John Cena. His role as an ambassador, you could not have a better person for WWE of this guy that is going out there, gigantic star to the public, and he is going to be your best representation you can have until Cody wants to take over such a position, which I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. He will do. Mm-hmm.
So tonight's SmackDown, despite having a taping in Grand Rapids, Michigan tonight, all of tonight's tapings are for next week's Raw and next week's SmackDown. Everything you saw tonight was done on Monday in Hershey, Pennsylvania at the Giant Center. So, yeah, and they didn't even try to like hide that fact, because the very first words out of Damian Priest's mouth were, "What's up, Hershey?"
Kind of hard to lie about that, you know. No. I guess they could not give the locator at all, but that isn't really like their production these days. Yeah, this is contrary to some reports that were out there suggesting that Monday's show, the tapings for Monday's show, would actually be for next Friday's show. That ended up not being right, and therefore the first two shows basically shot on Monday we're watching this week. The next two shows that they're taping tonight, or had just taped tonight, we'll be seeing next week.
Yes, and you pretty much had the Raw crew. You had Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett calling in place of Michael Cole and Corey Graves, and it was Jackie Redmond doing the backstage interviews. And this is going to be WWE's, well, tonight's show in Grand Rapids is their last show until next Friday. So they've got like a week off until December 26th, and they have no TV until December 29th in Orlando. So it's quite the break, and then they do all the holiday house shows.
AEW's crew will be off after this Sunday as well.
Yes. Yeah. And then they get to work New Year's Eve as well.
Well, come on.
In Nebraska.
What else are you going to do? What's a wrestler going to do?
Overrated. Right. It's change calendar.
I'm sure the after party will be quite nice.
I hope so. The first 5 minutes is all recapping Saturday night's main event and Cena's loss. And the post-Cena era of SmackDown begins with Damian Priest, who comes out, thanks John Cena. The crowd is chanting and says that Zelina and Aleister Black got their asses kicked last week. So now we're going to move on, which is code in WWE for buckle up. Because Zelina interrupts and says, "You got your mommy to fight your battles for you." It's like, oh, please, let's not tease the folks with a rematch after last week. Says, "Damian, you didn't even get the pin." That's the heat that we've got here. You didn't even get the pin. So Black ends up jumping him from behind, and we get a prolonged attack. Priest manages to, Priest delivers a choke slam to Aleister Black on the apron, pulls out a table. He's hit by a chair. It ends up with Priest being put through the table with a meteora by Aleister Black. And folks, Damian Priest remains in career stasis with Aleister Black. Damn. I think this is Mania. Saudi Arabia.
Mania Saudi Arabia next year.
That's what this is paced out to be. I mean, this so badly, just it needs to be blown off. Like last week's tag was it for me, but I guess they can't go off on that note.
I think we should. This should be one of the new categories for our end of year awards. It's not even one that's subjective. It should just be longest feud. Okay, and it's just you just have to like base it off of length. I mean, we already have one contender in what was it? Andrade Carmelo, was that this year or last year?
I think it might have gone into both, but yeah. I think that was more, it wasn't this year. Yeah. Like but Judgment Day's breakup, Priest versus Aleister Black. We could have a few, contenders for this one.
Yeah. I mean, what has kind of given it some life over the past couple weeks is the fact that you had Rhea Ripley attached to it because she is a megastar. She kind of makes everything a bit better. Taking her out of it and now dragging this. I'm sorry, I read spoilers, everybody. Okay, this is at least going for two more weeks before we might get a blow off. Is asking a lot, you know, for the audience to keep their attention on.
Is this announced for the 3-hour SmackDown?
The January 2nd one. Yeah.
Okay, that's the first 3-hour show in Buffalo. Okay. Yeah. I only saw partial stuff ahead, so I thought that there was a golden opportunity, though, if Aleister had jumped Damian Priest, tied his arms up in the ropes, and Zelina's got the snake.
That would save all of this.
Would that save all of this?
Yeah.
I hope that's devenomized.
Yeah, that would save it all.
Byron is with Nia Jax and Lash Legend, who are in their Christmas elf outfits.
Yeah.
This took some planning. As we know from John Cena, these things take like 9 months to prepare.
Outfits? Oh, like the
merch. I mean, that's what he said about like his shirts, his uniform. Maybe these weren't the exact same level of complexity to arrange, but they are done with Bliss and Flair. See the first segment for what that means. And they are moving ahead and will become tag champions despite Ripley and Io having the title shot January 5th in Brooklyn. So Priest is being helped to the back. And just to put an exclamation point, we do a second attack by Aleister Black, including the usage of a shovel. Home Alone watcher here, and a black mass sending Priest into the garage door. So do you get it?
Get what? That they don't like each other?
Yes. Yeah. The first segment wasn't enough. We had to do this follow-up attack as well.
Sure. Yes, I get it. Yes. Thank you.
So then it's the Kabuki Warriors against Lash Legend and Nia Jax, non-title. They were teammates at War Games, but now they're coming to blows. So Legend stops Kyrie from doing a sunset roll-up, and Sane uses a head scissors. A lot of like kind of position, especially Sane kind of playing the babyface role here against being undersized against the two monsters. Sane leaps to the floor with an insane elbow onto both, and Lash and Jax then take over after the break. Asuka receives the hot tag, lands a missile dropkick, and is lighting up Jax with strikes, goes for the armbar, but then Jax lifts her and misses a seated splash. Kyrie hits her with a kick, sending Jax into the sunset bomb by Asuka. Legend pulls Asuka out and is taken down by Sane, and then she comes off the top into a chokeslam by Nia, who drags Kyrie for the Annihilator, pinning her, and it's our second week of a dominant win by this combo after Lash murdered Alexa last week.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought the match was a bit more fun than expected, and I think, you know, what helped was just having a very simple idea of like two Joshi great high-flying wrestlers taking on two giants, and it was fun to watch the Kabuki Warriors play baby faces here. You know, they're just like using their speed to take the giants down. It took me until after this match to realize that the Kabuki Warriors were actually the champions, because I guess like they were like this did not feel at all like maybe the way you would book your champions to essentially lose a clean match. And that's probably what I had a problem with here. I would not have booked champs to lose this clean. I think they deserved a little bit more protection, or this could have just been a singles match or even a multi-person match. If the idea was to show, you know, how dominant, the Lash and I were over like at least one of the championship right here.
Flair and Bliss run down, attacking Legend and Jax, and then Jax saves Lash from a twisted Bliss. They boo, and then Flair and Bliss hold up the belts towards Lash and Jax. I'm like, neither of you are the champions. The Kabuki Warriors were just so forgotten about here. It's like, hey, we got the belts from the other team.
Yeah. Again, not the way I would book your actual defending champions. I realize the intent is to book, like, I don't know, built to some sort of like number one contenders match or like maybe a multi-person match or something. But man, I thought that made the champions look pretty bad. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com. And for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Jackie Redmond is with Julia and Kiana James. She explains she's not a regular on this show, as she informed she has to go through Kiana to get interview time with Julia. She's like the PR rep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Julia is going to take out Elba Fire because she is coming for Chelsea Green's title.
Yeah. Yeah.
More to
they're
come
keeping her. They're keeping her like verbiage pretty simple, but I mean, I think the attitude is there, but it's just, I mean, it's far from connecting, as we'll be able to see in the match itself.
And then it was time for the home invasion, where Drew and Aldis meet at McIntyre's home, and they are going over the details of getting Drew back to work and having to give an apology to referee Dan Engler. He'll have to pay a fine, but then he will get a title shot against Cody. They're on the precipice of an agreement when Cody storms the home, prompting a brawl throughout Drew McIntyre's semi-decorated home for the holidays, and cops getting involved and ending with the line, "Merry Christmas, asshole," by Cody.
Yeah, this was the same video that they posted online over the weekend, like very well shot. And I, you know, like as far as home invasions go, I kind of prefer like the Dominic Rey Mysterio ones, honestly, that weren't so produced. You know what I mean? Like that at least felt a little bit more authentic, that I could believe that, hey, like somebody just showed up with like a cell phone and happened to catch this. This, like, they tried to turn into almost a movie scene, and I almost felt like it kind of took some of the realism away.
You didn't like the score? Over top of the
shaky camera and like the multi-cuts. Like, I think that was a little bit too much, in my opinion.
Aldis is interviewed by Saxton. He admits that what Cody did was out of line, but it's out of my hands. This didn't happen at a WWE event, so it is up to the local authorities.
Yes. Okay.
So was no arrest made here? We established these were cops, right?
Yeah, he shoved the cop into the lake.
How was there no arrest made? He broke. He was like breaking and entering. He was assaulting him. Oh, Logan Paul is being interviewed right now backstage on at the boxing fight.
An undisclosed fine was levied.
I don't know if that's how. I don't think the cops negotiate these things like that.
That you know of, John.
I guess so. I'm not familiar. This is Florida. Who knows? So then the Miz pops up and he complains about he who should not be named ruining things at Saturday night's main event. He's not going to say Joe Hendry's name, but he wants a match with him next week. And Aldis is going to contact Ava. And he basically was approving it in real time because the match was probably happening as the segment was airing for most people.
Can you imagine like going to tonight's show? I guess like how much story do you really need? But like if you're in Grand Rapids watching that SmackDown without having seen this one, I guess you'd have a bit of catching up to do. Like
it would be a little bit confusing. And R-Truth appears and says, "I believe in Joe Pesci," and makes a crack about seeing Nick Aldis's British balls.
Couldn't have stopped that. "I believe in Joe Pesci." Had to throw the balls in there.
You got to go for, there's an extra joke in there that you have to squeeze out. So yeah, right. That's just fantastic. I'm really glad that, you know, this.
I'm glad he's got his paycheck.
I'm sure he saw all of this that was forecasted, but hey, I'm sure he got a nice return package to come back. Mm. Julia against Elba Fire. They mention, and I don't know if this is one of those stats that maybe needed to be broadcast. This is Julia's first match since November the 7th when she lost her title to Chelsea Green. So she's been regrouping for 7 weeks.
It really is crazy. I mean, I would even argue like even before she lost it, how active was she? Even while being US champion, she didn't feel like she was that active. And we're talking about somebody who at this point, like her promo is clearly her weakest game. The reason why you would hire Julia at all is for her in-ring ability. That is the language that she speaks the best, better than most. And to not let her showcase that and instead have like Kiana James almost wrestle as many matches as Julia has is really, really a really strange way of treating this talent.
She had 4 matches in October, 2 in September, 4 in August, 1 in July.
Sorry, were you talking TV?
This is everything. It's only TV. There's no not TV.
Okay.
So this is not the busiest 2025, but true stat. She did, in fact, not wrestle since November the 7th in her big 1 minute and 35 second title change.
Yeah.
So this match, Green distracts Julia and it allows Elba to attack her, hits a tornado DDT, and Julia took her by the hair and hit like the nastiest looking snapmare I might have ever seen, hit her with another one, and then it's Arrivederci and the Northern Lights bomb pinning Elba in a quick match. Green screams at her from the floor, even takes a bump by herself, and is holding on to her belts.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking with this feud. I mean, both of these, as far as I know, are still heels in Julia and Chelsea. And they're trying to do the thing where, like, you know, Chelsea is refusing to defend, trying to duck Julia. Meanwhile, like, nobody cares about Julia. You listen to the reaction in this match. Nobody gives a shit about Julia right now. They've given us no reason to care about her. They've given us no introduction to her. So not to mention the fact that she's a heel. So, like, I don't know.
Hey, this Kiana James, like, she serves zero function, like nothing at all.
She at least like maybe can say one or two full sentences that I guess they're not as confident in Julia like speaking, but the chemistry is not there.
There's none. There's none. She doesn't cut any like promos of any substance to them. I mean, it's, yeah. I don't know. This has been such a disaster of a call up. To the point that, you know, Wei is just going to pull the plug when it comes to the lack of chemistry that we're seeing between Julia and Kiana James. It's going to be okay, Wei. Don't worry. Like, they will figure out Julia at some point. But I know it does really push your buttons, and in turn, then you push buttons.
Yeah, the wrong ones. Yeah, I know. I was just so upset to leave the room. I caught my breath. I'm all right.
Yeah. It's funny. While you were gone, I rewatched the title change when Chelsea won back the belt.
Is that right? Yeah. I just think like the SmackDown women's division has just been terrible this year. So if I'm Julia, I'm hoping for a switch to Raw where I might have a different set of writers.
Yep. Coming up in January, the best and worst of 2025 presented by Post Wrestling. The Wyatt Six had a promo on video. They modulated, over-modulated Uncle Howdy's voice. Revolutionary. They state that the image the MFTs portray will catapult their family into a whole new world filled with adversity and abandonment. There is nowhere for them to run, and they will surrender. And he was just tickled to death. He just laughed at this. I too laughed, but probably not for the same reasons.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, you're playing the character. You kind of have to do Wyatt speak. But again, it's just it's missing connection. It looks really cool, but I don't know. Like, Bray had the same issue where, like, you kind of talk in such riddles that it just, the audience just doesn't seem to really digest it, you know?
Cody Rhodes comes out. So the interesting part about this, if you looked at the tapings, was they taped all the matches and did everything before Raw on Monday, but they saved the Cody promo for last after Raw was done. So this
makes sense.
This was like, yeah, stick around for Cody. So he comes out and confesses to going to Drew's home and injuring some cops. I mean, here he is just broadcasting this worldwide. Yeah, some cops got in the way. And he asks Drew, what would a safe working environment look like for you, Drew? Do you want to work at Staples? So Aldis comes out. He says he knows Drew's full of crap, but you showing up at his house only made his point stronger, and it forced me to make a bad deal because you made me look like a liar. Cody, you're not above the law. So if Drew pays the fine and apologizes to Dan Engler, then you can't lay a finger on Drew, or else you're stripped of the belt. And somehow, like, this was news to Cody, even though all of this was outlined in the video. But I guess Cody did not get around to watching the production. He was only a participant. And Cody reminds him, do you know who I am? I'm the guy that sent the tweet that changed the world. Not wrestling, not any subgenre, that changed the world.
He said changed the game, I believe.
Oh, did he say that? I thought, okay, change the game. Okay. He came back, won the Royal Rumble twice. I unseated Reigns. I'm QB1. I am the law. And says, I don't work for you, Nick. I work for the people. The people made Cody Rhodes. Yeah. And you, my friend, work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, man, we're getting maybe we're going back to the original All In with this tease.
What do you mean?
The first All In, or sorry, not the first All In. This was this was Cody and Nick Aldis at All In.
Oh, okay, that's what you mean. Yes. You mean a match, or just a feud between the two?
This was certainly positioning these two in opposition to one another.
But not wrestling. Like, at this point, I don't.
Maybe not wrestling, but at least not having a, he's, this guy is not just taking the play from the playbook to run it, okay? This guy is asking why.
Personally, I would be way more interested in a Cody-Nick Aldis match than, at this point, a Cody-Drew match. We wait to see what the stipulation is, because I certainly think they need a hot one to really kind of boost it.
Do we want to get ahead of ourselves or not?
Yeah, sure.
So the match is that will be set up on SmackDown will be their match is going to be January 9th. So it's the week after the move to three hours.
Second 3 hour show. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Three Stages of Hell, which is funny because that's my nickname for SmackDown in the expanded format. So
stage each hour. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So. I think that's great. That's a good uncommon stipulation.
It's not one they go to too often.
For a 3-hour show, that would at least take a hopefully most of an hour.
It'll probably eat up like close to an hour of the show, you would think.
Okay. So. I like that.
So that ended the segment right there. That was Cody's involvement. Ilya and
so this was strange, and I didn't realize that they taped this segment at the end because you know, Cody was saying all of these things, and I thought Cody cut a really good fiery promo, like showing a bit more, like, you know, not necessarily being the Boy Scout here. He's saying, I'm QB1, damn it, you know? Like, he is trying to pump up his chest a bit and trying to be a little bit more rebellious. But he didn't get that much reaction, and I'm left remembering, okay, like, at the end, like, Raw did not have a great reaction for most of its show.
This is probably nearing 4 hours for some of the people in this building.
Yeah.
And this was not a hot crowd on Raw. That
no,
is
not by the end, at least. No.
Yeah. Sweetening or not,
I think they would have sweetened this if that was the case.
So Ilya and Carmelo Hayes are in the back, and we see Tama Tonga lingering in the background. He thanks Carmelo for helping him last week with DIY, but tonight they're going to put them down. So Fraxium walk in, and they ask them to save a bit of DIY for them. I was like, Fraxium, you guys don't get booked around here. Fraser says they jumped the queue, and Axiom explains that they stole my mask, so we kind of need some revenge. And
that was like a month ago.
Yeah, I was you've had your chance. Got it back. Like, what's the big deal here? Ilya says they asked for a battle and they got one. He's not just a jackass anymore. He's my prey. It's gonna be my new catchphrase. And
I don't know how I could.
This guy has no intensity level under like 58.
Yeah.
Everything. Like, could you imagine this guy giving his wedding vows? Till death. it's just so much. Like, I just, like, this isn't even a human that's speaking.
I wouldn't want him any other way.
Yeah, you're right. It's quite the dynamic here.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Poison Rana. We cover NXT every Tuesday night on the Post Wrestling feed in a show we call Up Next. But we do so much more. Follow Poison Rana Pod on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts for our live Sunday show, plus our Patreon with movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, and more. Find out everything at poisonrana.ca.
So DIY against Ilya Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes. So not an open challenge for Ilya, but still an entertaining match nonetheless. So a preview of the 3-hour SmackDowns to come. Yeah. We slowly have to resurrect this tag division. So good news for Axiom and the anonymous city machine guns. Candace distracts the referee, so Gargano strikes Ilya. Ciampa knocks him off the apron into the desk. We come back. There's a Constantine special to Gargano, building up to the tag. Hayes hits a La Mystica. Tope Kanhiro looked very good here. Takes a Project Ciampa, but in comes Ilya for the save. And then Candace gets involved again, tripping Hayes as he's going for a springboard. That leads to a near fall by Ciampa and an assisted fairy tale ending. Hayes survives that. And as they set up for meet in the middle, Ilya cuts them off. There's a first 48 to Hayes, followed by an H-bomb and nothing but net as Carmelo pins Ciampa.
Very good match on the show. If you're into good wrestling, probably the only reason why you would decide to check out this taped edition. And, you know, looking at the talent here, I mean, how can a match like this go wrong, you know? So it seems like they might keep Dragunov and Hayes around as a team from time to time. I mean, this was a pretty, like, strong win, you know, over an established tag team like DIY. So it seems like at least part-time, maybe we'll get Dragunov, wrestling in the tag division, which I'm all for.
Jackie is with Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair backstage. Nia and Legend are not next in line, they state, but they're on their way. Jade Cargill enters, and again, we just get a look toward Charlotte, but again, no words exchanged. So Jackie then shifts focus to Jade and asks her about Meechan. And Jade says she was shocked to see her get up last week. It's like, did we see her get back up? I just remember her being left for dead
in the ring. She ran to the ring, didn't she? For some sort of... like,
and then Jade killed her.
Beat her up again. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she's impressed that Meechan came back. She's big on charity, so she's going to give Meechan some spotlight and then knock her lights out. And with that, Meechan attacks her with the kendo stick and is held back by B-Fab and several of the other officials. And Jade grabbed her arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think they're, I don't even know if you can even say they're trying with Meechan. Like, she's just the girl with the kendo stick. And it's not necessarily, like, the type of thing that's getting her over. She, at this point, is just, like, hard to take seriously, even if she does occasionally, get these sort of, like, beatdowns. We just really know that she is Jade's sort of, you know, distraction before finally getting to a Charlotte feud or something like that.
Next week, again, tape show, Ilya Dragunov's open challenge. We'll leave that a mystery for everyone, but some will find out. The Miz and Joe Hendry and the return of Drew McIntyre next week. Solo Sikoa doing his walk and talk in the back, telling Uncle Howdy, you talk a whole lot of nonsense about absolutely nothing. But then you threatened my family. Now you'll be embarrassed. The Fireflies are going to watch us take the tag titles because I've got the whole world in my hands. This was quite the setup for a guy that was not participating in this match. Like, I thought, okay, well, Solo's got to be in this, right? And him and Uncle Howdy were just like in the separate corners.
Right.
They're like the coaches.
But I mean, they are the mouthpieces, and this is still an overall feud between the two. But I mean, the tag teams are merely the people that carry the belts, aren't they? Well,
what you got in this main event was Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy against JC Mateo and Tonga Loa. A main event I could not have predicted at a year ago, maybe in WWE, but here we are. Mateo runs Lumis into the post and then just dumps him to the floor. And it's Loa with a power slam. They're beating on Lumis for a while. Eventually, Joe Gacy gets the tag, and Joe Gacy hit his version of a quebrada that missed and then does the upside down to both Loa and Mateo and then dives to both on the floor. This guy, he was maximizing his time out here. They do the vertical suplex powerbomb combo onto Mateo, and then Lumis hits a splash. Loa's in for the save, and Tala Tonga on the floor boots Joe Gacy. Rowan attacks him, and then it's Solo and Tama brawling with the Wyatts, and everyone gets involved on the floor. Match is thrown out. I thought we were going to get a Ric Flair 1991 ruling here that there was one person that escaped disqualification, but it looks like everyone went down with the ship. And Wade Barrett, with a straight face, is calling on stun guns, tasers, and tear gas that are needed to stop this. I think the cops were fresh out after the home invasion with any of those. So Tala hits a high cross, laying out everyone on the floor. Quite the graceful maneuver here, and has a showdown with Eric Rowan. I cannot wait for this. Eric Rowan, Tala Tonga. Night one or night two of Vegas.
I don't know if you'll ever see a match between these two. I mean, they're not really booking them in singles matches so much.
Well, they can have some stare downs from here or there. And then Nikki gets involved, asking Rowan to powerbomb her from the ring onto everyone on the floor. Rowan takes a Samoan spike, and then Uncle Howdy is about to deliver Sister Abigail when the MFTs attack him, and the show ends. So
this crowd was chanting OTC, OTC, OTC. I'm like,
of the fucking Christmas week taping. This is going to be Roman's. He's stopping in Hershey.
Well, I mean, beyond that, do these people watch SmackDown? He's got nothing to do with this feud. He hasn't interacted with the MFTs in like months. I mean, they're just like any reason to chant OTC, perhaps. But good hot brawl to close. The brawl got a pretty good reaction, and man, what a lame ending to a main event. You know, like we knew a tape show wasn't going to be much.
Could you imagine they kept everyone to the end of the taping for this?
Oh. That explains why this crowd might have been so dead.
Yeah, this is what led into Raw. This would have been the last thing they saw before Raw. So maybe they got their fill.
Yeah, maybe. But
yeah, I didn't have a big problem with the main event, even with the finish. I'm just, man, from the Damian Priest, Aleister Black program to this, like there are just some programs that are just going on this show that I've really checked out of.
And these aren't important programs because none of them ever make it to the PLEs. They're like show exclusive programs, which already tells you that they're not that important in the grand scheme of things. You know, the only, like I would say, relevant star power driven stuff on the show is Cody and Drew. And even on the women's side of things, it's really weak. You know, like, I mean, on this show you had Nia and Lash versus the Kabuki Warriors. I suppose that's something, but It overall, SmackDown, especially this edition of SmackDown, feels like an edition of main event. You know, it feels truly like a B show precursor to Raw.
Sounds like an incredible commercial for the expanded format in 2 weeks. Like, I really felt at the end of the show that, you know what, I need another hour. And this is someone who watched this entire show in an hour.
I mean, we said a lot of this last year too, right? And
I'm not coming off that. I did not think it was a wonderful transition to 3 hours.
But like, you did at least have at least one hot tag team match per show, right? For the most part. And
that's like me taking you to see like a 3 hour film, but there's a great fight scene in the second hour.
If you are forced to watch a 3 hour film every single week, then you might look forward to that fight scene at least once a week. Yeah.
What are we doing? That's the question. Well, there you go. That was SmackDown. I think this, even with the Dragunov Hayes tag, I think this was a missable show. I think the biggest thing on the show was Cody and Drew. If you saw the angle, that's all you needed to see. It was online this week, and this is just the setup for January 9th. So they are at least spacing this out. I'm glad they're not throwing everything onto this first 3 hour Raw, like or 3 hour SmackDown. They're trying to build these 3 hour shows with at least some significant things for week one and week two, as significant as Damian Priest and Aleister Black is for January 2nd.
I suppose so. Shall we go through spoilers just for people?
We might as well. I was debating.
Goodbye if you don't want to be spoiled.
You know what? Let's do it on the cafe side.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. We'll say goodbye to everyone on YouTube. We're going to go through next week's SmackDown spoilers and your feedback as well. So that's it for us on YouTube. We will be back Monday after Raw.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.